This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning, good morning. You can hate me now. If you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping. Keith McPherson on The Fan. First night back. Good to be back. Took a little break. Went down to Tampa. Saw the game last Tuesday? Wednesday? I don't even remember. Gambled a bit. Got in a pool. Bopped around. Went on a little boat cruise. You know, I got to take a week break for my wife, for my son. They're my motivation, my why. I got to give them that time. They're both sleeping right now. You know, I work when they're asleep. And then when they get up in the morning, I'm asleep. So we're usually like ships passing in the morning. So that was good. And it's a good reset. You know, I took a break when the World Series ended. I think it was like mid-November, I went to Mexico, took the week off. That was cool. And right before baseball starts, I take another break. So I'm ready to go. I'm locked in for 162. I'm in the chat right now, in the live chat. And Mets bio in the live chat said, what did he say? He said, Keith didn't get a chance to catch the earlier part of your show. Did you talk about what Evan and Tiki wanted to ask you? If you would give Juan Soto a roll call, I said, excuse me, say what? He said, yeah, I think one of Tiki or Sean suggested that he would get a roll call. And Evan thought that was crazy and said, let's just ask our own guy, Keith, who's a bleacher creature himself. I didn't get a phone call. Let me check my phone. Maybe did they try to dial me into the show?
No. These are my Mets.
I didn't have a missed call. It's got nothing to do with the Mets. We're talking about the creatures. There's a 0% chance. There's a 0% chance that any creature would do a roll call for Juan Soto. Now, there might be some goofies over there that do a Juan Soto roll call. And now that we're talking about this on The Fan, maybe some Mets fans go and do one. But there is a 0% chance that any of the La Bodega family, any of the Section 39 to 203 bleacher creatures stand up and do a roll call for Juan Soto. That's dead. That's done. That is over with. 888-808-1019. Juan Soto says, Yankee fans, they can surprise you with anything, but they will not surprise you with a roll call, Juan Soto. You had the loudest roll call last year when you were with us. Now you're on the other side, and that's okay. That's okay. You took the most money, and your mom wanted you to be a Met so she could get her clothing allowance. That's all good. Anyway, we're talking about that. We're talking about St. John's. We're talking about brackets. And we were talking about Jameis Winston. And Paulie told me he got a couple calls because people are talking about how, you know, Jameis is a bad guy. And yeah, the thing about sports is they're full of guys. And they're not all good guys. And they all have skeletons in their closets. And they all have things that have popped up. I did not mention the Uber incident when I talked about the crab legs. And the, thing that Jameis yelled when he was at Florida State. And we can get into it. I don't mind talking about it at all. I'm happy the guy is a Giant.
I'm happy the guy is in New York. He just worked with Fox Sports at the Super Bowl, stole the show with them. I think he is just an energy locker room guy, and he is a quarterback that's going to sling it. He's going to throw the ball downfield, and it's what the Giants need. Now, coming into the NFL and being the number one overall draft pick, I guess he sat with Harbaugh. I don't know. I'm not sure where this came from. I guess it was like a draft, one of those like draft camps. ESPN Draft Academy. But I remember seeing this video, and I wanted to cue it up. It's Harbaugh talking to Jameis, kind of preparing him for like what teams are going to ask him with what they knew about him coming out of Florida State. Go ahead and play it.
You know, with the snow crabs or stone crabs or whatever it might have been. Yeah. But you left it out when Coach asked you, did you have any issues? You know, I wouldn't leave it out.
Oh man, yeah.
Right? I mean, everybody.
Stone crabs?
Yeah, whatever that whole theft thing was at Publix or whatever it might have been. I don't know the whole, I just know what happened. That's like the elephant in the room for you.
I would put it, keep it in a tidy box. Tidy box. Came in, got some crab legs, left, and I f***ed up. I've learned from that. Out. Tidy box.
All right. They're going to say, what did you say?
All right.
You know? And you're going to say, right.
And then be brilliant, you know? You got a sex addiction? You got a problem with sex? Sex? You addicted to sex? A sex addiction?
No, sir.
You got to see Harbaugh's face when he's asking him these questions, so... Jameis, I'm not apologizing for his mistakes. He's made some mistakes, but I think you just got to give the guy an opportunity to come here and show you the type of man he's grown into and the person that he can be, the type of quarterback he can be, the type of leader he could be. And you know what? It's a 2-year deal for $8 million. It doesn't stop you from doing anything. It doesn't hurt you. And maybe he doesn't see the field. Maybe you draft Shedeur Sanders and he beats him out. Maybe you draft, I don't know, Jackson Dart, and he beats him out. Maybe you bring in Russell Wilson still. Maybe Aaron Rodgers says, actually, my house in New Jersey, I want to stay there, and I will sign with the Giants. Maybe the Steelers aren't really that interested. We don't know yet. But I think this is a move you make, right? You could have made this move last year. Probably would have been better than Drew Locke. So, I don't know. I hear a lot of hate for Jameis. I wanted to be somebody to come in and be supportive. You know, you're going to talk about his 30 interceptions. Talk about the 33 touchdowns he had. You're going to talk about crab legs. Talk about the fact that, like, yo, and that's another thing, too. We all talk about these things from the past as if we were there, as if we definitively know exactly how it happened, when it happened, where it happened. I was corrected in my chat. I think I said it was Winn-Dixie. I think I ended up in a Winn-Dixie in Florida this past week. It was a Publix where the whole crab legs incident went down. Winn-Dixie pub. Publix, Piggly Wiggly, whatever. I don't know. They have way different grocery stores down there. All I'm saying is if you're a Giants fan, this is not a bad move. If you're a Giants fan, this is one of the better quarterbacks you've had in the building in recent time. If you're a Giants fan, you can win games with Jameis. You're going to actually see an offense run with Jameis. And don't you have the quarterback whisper? That's all I keep hearing about these whispers that Brian Daboll gives these quarterbacks. He helped Daniel Jones limit the turnovers. Maybe he's the godsend that Jameis has been praying for. Maybe he can deliver Jameis from throwing pick sixes. And I know I saw Jameis get busy with Jerry Jeudy. He could do the same thing with Malik Nabers. 888-808-1019. Josh is in the Bronx. Josh, you're back on the Fan.
Keith, it's awesome, baby. But to tell you, you know, let's see what he's got down the road. Let's get to camp. You can take it from here, Kiefer. I'm just saying, let the football thing play out and everything. Can't wait in the next 48 hours for opening day. Thank you. Take it, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Yeah, just, you know, let things play out. Let's see who they draft. Let's see who else they sign. You need quarterbacks, and you need competition, and you need NFL-caliber quarterbacks, veterans that have won games and that have played. When you think about Jameis and his experiences, you think he can't tell stories? You think he can't share some advice about his missteps? He got suspended 3 games for the Uber incident. I'm a former Uber driver. Shout out to JC Ascar, former Uber driver. We'll talk more about that in a bit, too. You know, Anybody driving Uber now should have a camera in their car. And the young lady that alleged that he wrongfully touched her, inappropriately touched her in an Uber driver or in a Uber in 2016, that's not a good look. That's not a good look. But that was also some years ago. And I wasn't there. You weren't there. Jameis Winston claimed that he didn't do it. But you take word for it and these things go to court. And you know what I thought as I was reading the article? I was like, how did that all play out? You know, he was, you know, in Tampa Bay with the Bucks, and this young lady was at a drive-thru. So, like, I don't know. Like, Ubers can be tricky, man. I'm not trying to defend them. I'm just saying, I wasn't there. You weren't there. We don't know how this came about. What, like, why would you be waiting in a drive-thru? I've never taken somebody. I've driven 700 rides in Uber. I've never taken anybody through the drive-thru. What type of level were you guys getting into? There's a lot of times in Uber where the drivers don't speak to the passengers besides a hello, if that. It's not a good look. But again, when I talk about these guys, like, I still got people calling me asking me why the Yankees won't sign Trevor Bauer. Jameis is not perfect, but the pass is a pass. And with these athletes, man, so much of their lives, so much of the mistakes that they make follow them forever and are blasted publicly without us knowing the detail, and we just talk about them like we know. I'm glad every mistake that I made in life and things that I did, I never had any issues with chicks. I was raised by a woman. I have a little sister, so I was always respectful. You'll never hear any story about me doing nothing like that. But I know there were some mistakes and things that I did when I was younger that I'm glad, you know, there wasn't a 4K iPhone camera filming or there wasn't anybody to, you know, like, people make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. We all sin. We all should, you know, make mistakes and learn from it and grow from it. And I think Jameis became more spiritual. He became more in touch with God. I've actually seen him now on two different Hard Knocks. Please go Google, you know, Jameis Winston Shows Childhood Home. And it'll show you the clip from his humble beginnings, which was on Hard Knocks when he was with Tampa. I've seen him now on Hard Knocks when he was in Tampa, and I've seen him last year on Hard Knocks with the Browns because they did the AFC North, and now he's grown into a family man. He's got kids, he's got sons, and this is just, life is different for the guy. I'm hoping you guys give him a little bit more of a shot. Josh is in Passaic next up on the Fan. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Keith, what's doing? How's your weekend?
It was good. Weekend, week, you know, too long away from doing the job, but like, it's good to get a break and a reset. And the biggest thing, man, is sleep. Like, I should be asleep right now. I don't think there was a night that I was awake at this hour. Especially having a young one, I go to bed. So it's nice to have a week of, like, 8 hours of sleep.
not to, you know, ask the wrong question, but, you know, everybody's probably asking what was the best part about spring training. What was the thing you least enjoyed?
The thing I least enjoyed about spring training, two things. My allergy started to flare up down there, and I did not think to bring any allergy medicine. And then also, in the casino, you could smoke in the casino. And they were selling cigars and cigarettes. And I gambled. I was out in the casino a lot. And I'm like, man, my hair's starting to smell like cigarettes. I felt like a film over my eyes, like nicotine in my eyes. I'm like, yo, because like in Jersey, you can't smoke in the casino, not in Atlantic City anymore. Like that's been banned, outlawed for years. Those are probably the two things that irritated me the most. The smoking in the casino and then my allergies flaring up.
Well, that sounds rough. I hope you enjoyed the rest of the trip besides for that.
Oh, I did. Anyway, it was great. Thank you.
Anyway, looking at this Winston move, and after this, I still don't think they're actually going to go after a quarterback. I think the first two picks are going to go quarterbacks right there. And whatever it is, just put in that Malik Nabers is going to be the number one receiver in yards. Look at what Jerry Jeudy did with Winston this past year. That those few games, he was putting up the same numbers, only was as all the top players, just behind like Jamar Chase. And, you know, and that's where they did have a bunch of other young players. You know, put them with Malik Nabers, and who knows what you'll get. I mean, the actual wins itself probably are not going to be there, but it is more of a hashtag taking a quarterback in 2026 move.
Yeah, you know what? You brought up a great point because some people have been commenting this on things I'm saying. What if the Browns take Shador? And, like, today we saw Deion come out and say point blank, let's hope it's New York. He was at some press conference. I got to go to my notes and find where the press conference was. If Deion Sanders is on stage saying, let's hope it's New York, that is him signaling to Cleveland, do not pick my son at number two. But let's say he is gone and Cam goes one, Shador goes two, then you take Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. It's pretty simple for you. Whichever one you think is a better move. I think for the Giants, the better move is to get Travis Hunter. I just think he's more of a foolproof guy and fills two needs for you potentially.
Right, and that's what I think they're actually going to end up getting anyway. And then just looking at the Devils, Keith, as much as, you know, we like to stay in the playoffs, anything could happen. I feel like that's much more of your team, you know, at the lower seed with all your players. I'm very nervous about this team with Jack Hughes out. And I don't know, after watching the last few weeks with Adam, you know, the third and fourth line are not playing well. Markstrom's still taking a while to get to himself, and very down on them right now. How are you feeling about them?
I'm down too. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I mean, tough loss tonight. I don't know. It's not what you want. It's not how you envision this going. They're probably gonna make the playoffs and be a first round exit. We don't know. Maybe they go on a little bit of run, but it's hard for Devils fans to believe that they're gonna do, you know, what we actually thought they could potentially do when they were winning games at the beginning of the year. I'm down on them too. Honestly, I didn't watch any Devils while I was in Tampa, and I only watched a little bit of this game tonight. So, yeah, I don't know. I hope for the best, but you feel like you're cooked when you're without two of your best players in Jack Hughes and Dougie Hamilton.
It seems the only difference between this year and 2 years ago when they last year is that just last year they lost Jack Hughes earlier, so they just didn't end up making the playoffs. And, you know, it's just going to be tough. You know, you're going to have to go for next year. It's just rough. But at least, you know, we were up on them until the MLB season. You know, for football, the Giants and Jets always at least take us a month and a half in until basketball and hockey starts. Then we at least ask, you know, as Mets and Devils fan, at least take us till baseball season. So good on that. And then, kids, with the Mets, just wanted to hear your thoughts on the guy they got from the Cubs, Alexander Canario, who's like, I don't know, they want to dump Marte to make space for him.
But yeah.
Thanks for taking my call. Have a great night.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Yeah, I mean, he homered the other night. His name has started to pop up. I'm seeing more and more Mets fans asking for him to be on the team, for him to make the team. We'll know soon. We'll know soon. I'm waiting for the final rosters to come out. We could take our guesses. You know, more stuff came out with, you know, well, Brett Beatty obviously has impressed, and he hit another homer today. And Brett Beatty should get the nod and get the opportunity to play and start and be the guy. There's just so much to be seen. I was reading something earlier about, like, Edwin Diaz not necessarily being the closer. The Mets rotation being Clay Holmes, Tyler McGill, Griffin Canning, David Peterson, Kodai Senga, Paul Blackburn going to the bullpen, and then obviously you're waiting on injured guys to come back. Yeah, and even with Luis Angel Acuna and Lindor's comments about him playing bored, him being bored in spring training. Him being a guy that, like, needs the lights to be brighter. I understand that. There's a lot of guys like that. They can't go through the motions. But, yeah, Alexander Canario, his name has popped up. And that's just one of those spring training things. I think I was alluding to this earlier. Like, I just can't get too deep into spring training. I know he had two homers the other day, right, Canario? It's just like they end up in these games against – who knows who's pitching, and they're major league hitters. If they're getting fastballs over the plate, they should drive them out. If they're getting pitches that they can hit, they should drive them. Like, a lot of times, it's just not like regular season baseball is, where they have hitting meetings and pitching meetings and game plans and how to pitch a guy. They're kind of just going out there working on their own stuff because it's exhibition. It doesn't matter. But what I'm saying is I can't read too much into it, and I don't think that teams do either. And, like, even with the Yankees, with Austin Wells and even, like, Spencer Jones today, people are like, send Spencer Jones. Like, I just remember Kyle Higashioka hitting a ton of home runs in the spring and that not translating. I remember Greg Bird being spring training MVP and that not translating. It is spring training. It is not the regular season. We got to kind of pump our brakes. And I think that these teams rely on guys who have posted in Major League Baseball. And that's just what they're going to do. They're going to rely on that more. You know, a guy like J.C. Ascaro, who I mentioned earlier, man, that video, I love that video. The Yankees got it with that one. It's one thing for the Pirates to post Paul Skeens getting the nod for opening day. Like, spoiler alert, nobody thought that was going to be the opening day starter over there, whatever. But when you see a video of J.C. Ascaro, you know, Boone talking about how this is tough to do, and then telling him he's made it, and then him calling his mom and his dad quietly being in the video and his mom crying, like, you love that. And so, you know, then you get to learn about these guys' stories, and you get to learn that he was a substitute teacher. You get to learn that, you know, he drove Uber. You get to learn that, you know, he was with the Orioles, and, you know, he didn't make it there. But, like, man, these guys grind and grind and grind. They never give up on the dream, and you never know where it could happen. It ends up happening with the New York Yankees. So you love to see that. I think that's great. And then a guy like Dom Smith, who so many Yankee fans were pointing to, was, oh, Dom Smith's the DH, Dom Smith's the DH. Even Mets fans being like, oh, you know, Dom, look at this. Dom Smith's going to be playing. I'm like, nah, he opts out, and the Yankees have a lot of left-handed bats, and they need more right-handed hitters. And now you're looking at a guy like Pablo Reyes, who homers today. It's like, okay, this guy might make the team. And, you know, we already talked about Peraza not having any more options, and where is he going to go? We're about to find out how it all shakes out real soon. Josh is down in Houston, Texas, on the Fan in New York. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's up? Welcome back.
Thanks, man.
A lot of my friends have been telling me, like, y'all, we're cooked. Like, the Yankees, we're cooked. But, like, honestly, we're really, it's pretty similar team to last year. Like, if you think about it, because we're, right, really Cole. We were missing Cole too last year. Now we're just, like, replace him with Breed. And then, if anything, we might be a little better with, like, Goldschmidt and Bellinger. So I'm just going to let you talk.
Yeah, what I'll tell you, Josh, is you know, same thing that I've been saying. Tell your friends, you don't know anything. We don't know anything. That's why we watch. That's why we bet. Check back with me every series, every week, every month. Thanks for the call, bro. I'll say this about the Yankees rotation. Like nobody could have predicted this rotation, bro. We came into spring training and people were saying, oh, Marcus Stroman doesn't want to go to the bullpen. No, he doesn't want to go to the bullpen. He's a starter. He trained to be a starter. He's been a starter for 10 years. I remember having his back, defending him. Like, yo, they told him in the offseason, or they didn't even have to tell him in the offseason. You said it on Twitter. You wrote it. Everybody talked about it. They're going to trade him. They're going to trade him. They're going to trade him. So the Yankees granted him an extra day with his son, and coming off of him losing his house in California to the wildfires, they gave him some grace. They gave him a grace period. And then what did he do? He said he's staying grounded. And he's going to come in and work. Okay, it's the Pro Mat. Going back to Deion Sanders, it was Pro Mat 2025. I don't know what that is, where Deion today said, or yesterday now, said, we are hoping for New York. That Deion Sanders says something like that? You think Cleveland doesn't hear that? That's him signaling to the Cleveland Browns, don't draft my son. I want him to be there at 3 to fall to the Giants. Anyway, with the Yankees rotation, you know, Carlos Rodon being your opening day starter, nobody had that. Nobody was thinking that was going to be the case. Let's see it, Los. You get paid the big bucks. It's year three. You're allowed to have your beard on. You're allowed to grow out a little. Let's see it. Carlos Carrasco was hurt. Carlos Carrasco was not good. Carlos Carrasco was written off, done. He had a good spring. There are people laughing, thinking he wasn't going to. Here he is, Will Warren. Will Warren, who you saw for a couple starts last year, right? He wasn't good. He was a young guy. He got thrown into the fire. He got burnt. Well, he worked on it all offseason. He started cooking. He's good. Like, he's going to get an opportunity, right? It's going to go Carlos Rodon, Max Fried, Marcus Stroman. Just that order. Clark Schmidt. As soon as they said Clark had a cranky back, I knew it wasn't good. I knew it wasn't good. And then that first outing, he got hit a little bit. I'm like, he's not on track. He's not on track to be ready to go. So the Yankees are going to roll out Carlos Rodon, Max Fried, Marcus Stroman, Will Warren. They could go back to Rodon for game five or go to Carlos Carrasco. And they're just going to see how it goes. And Josh in Houston was talking about last year, last year when they were ready to option Luis Gil. We get the bad news about Cole. Hey, you got to go, bro. You're in there. And then we didn't have a Max Fried last year. And they were able to figure it out with Rodon and Stroman and Nestor and Heal and Schmidt. I don't remember the numbers. I'm sure I could go back to my notes. There was a point in time where they had like the lowest ERA in baseball. We were pleasantly surprised at how good they were. And then when Cole came back, it was like, you know, substitute teacher's out and the real teacher comes back. The class was, you know, behaving. Now they're misbehaving. It was like they took a step back. Cole came back and they weren't as good right away. Nobody knows. Stan is out. DJ is out. So what? Like, DJ, forget about it. For me, I do we need to see anything else with DJ LeMahieu? Appreciate you, bro. Appreciate the robot formerly known as the machine, La Machina. Used to be automatic, systematic with runners in scoring position. That's not the case anymore. He can't stay healthy. Boone came into this studio and said, well, DJ's healthy. When DJ's healthy, he's one of the best. He's not healthy. So stop. We're good on that. Let's see how Belly looks in pinstripes. He had a great spring. I think he's really excited about the chance to hit in Yankee Stadium to be a Yankee. Goldie had a little bit of a back issue. He was scratched, but man, Goldie's going to hit. Let's see what Austin Wells looks like. Like, your leadoff hitter is going to be Austin Wells and Goldie. Jazz Chisholm had a good spring. You know the theory about, hey, you trade for a guy, he's half a year as a Yankee. Well, now here's his first full year as a Yankee. And Jazz is with it. He's talking about competing. He's talking about being an all-star, winning a gold glove, silver slugger. Anthony Volpe. Volpe, we love you. We need you. There is no more time. You have to rise. You have to do it with your glove. Make the routine plays. And you have to hit. You have to hit. Embrace the Martian. Embrace the Martian. We're over the whole left field. This kid can't play left field. He should be in center field. Look at the bloopers. Look at the... This is who he is. He's an athlete. We've been waiting for this kid for 5 years. Embrace him. Root him on. He's a young guy that could win Rookie of the Year, that could run into a bunch of home runs, that could figure it out. There is no time to get him up to speed. There is no more time. The game is in 2 days. Let's roll. The bullpen's going to be ready to roll. Ryan Yarbrough, come on down. Help us out. Who else is going to shake out here? We don't know. So 888-808-1019 as we add a little bit more baseball conversation. And there's still a couple other things. Before we go to break here, and if you're on hold to talk about Jameis, the Jameis call just dipped off. There was something else I was going to add about Jameis, but I'll put a note in it. Put a note in my notes to go back to it. NFL, March Madness, Islanders. Who wants to talk about the Isles? We'll get to it. But, man, I wanted to say something. Oh, watching the game 2 days ago when we heard about Brett Gardner losing his son, Miller. Man, that cut me. That one hurt. And, you know, you guys hear me talking about getting to spend a week with my son. My son is about to be 2 on April 13th. And being a dad, being a father is my number one priority. It is the most important thing to me. There is nothing I care about more than, you know, being the man for my son. And Brett Gardner was a favorite player of mine. You know, I had that 11 Gardy jersey, Gardy party, TYBG. Thank you, Brett Gardner. I hate how the Yankees did him on the way out. I hate how Yankee fans hated on him. But, you know, I remember last year at Old Timers Day, people, again, ragging on Brett Gardner. Had stuff to say about Brett Gardner not wanting to come back. And what I knew about Gardy was that he has a farm out there in South Carolina. And they said something like, he didn't want to come to New York because, you know, like his older son had a football game. And he wanted to be there for his sons. And when that story came out, I saw Jack Curry's tweet. I was literally sick. And then I heard Joe Girardi talking on the broadcast and he broke down and I was fighting back tears because, like, once you have a kid and you have a son, and you, I can't imagine I can't imagine. So I like prayers immediately just started praying for their family. And I just wanted to send a shout out to Brett Gardner and the Gardner family. May God bless you guys. I know God makes no mistakes, but you know, we question things like losing a child like that. And it's a terrible way to lose a life. And I feel so bad. I'm devastated for the Gardner family. And I hope more people pray for them. And I hope that they are all right and they pull through. Keith McPherson on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We've got more to do, about 90 minutes left. Les, call me up. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Diaz on the first base side of the rubber. Rests the glove on his left thigh. Looks into Alvarez. Diaz still staring in. Comes set. The 1-2 pitch. Swung out and missed strike three. Put it in the books. And to the New York Mets, California, here we come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
And we're back. Another Hate Me Now drop. We had that Hate Me Now drop. We might have to take that out. No Diddy. I'm getting back into my DJ stuff. I'm going to pop back up on the ones and twos, playing some spots in the city, playing some spots down the shore, doing my own parties. And as I'm going through my playlist, any Diddy stuff was like, nah, we can't really rock with Diddy. No Kanye either. I'm sorry, yo. Can't do it, man. Just can't do it. What we know about Diddy, can't do it. What we know about Ye, can't do it. Just avoid it. There's enough music to kind of skip around that. 888-808-1019. Let me hit these phones faster, man, and see what you guys are talking about out there. Mike is in Brooklyn on the Fan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Keith. How are you tonight, bud? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. I'm good.
Thanks, man. Yeah, listen, I just wanted to call up Clay. It's funny because I call occasionally, but not a ton. When I think I could either add something or something that I just want to talk about it that's out there. So I always listen. So I listen to like all your Bauer, like you killed Bauer, right? Which is rightfully so. To me, I believe they're all scuzz buckets, right? And don't let any of them either back in or let them back in. But if you look at the Bauer incident compared to Winston, right? Bauer, they never paid any money civilly to the woman, right? Number one. Never found guilty, nothing in the court of law. Okay. So now you have Winston, right? And you just said, Winston, give him another chance. Listen, I'm all for, you know what? Have something universal. Have universal, give him another chance, or don't give them another chance. It's either one or the other. It can't be this guy there.
No. It's not a universal, give him another chance. They're completely different things that were alleged and that went to court and what we're talking about. We're not talking about...
I'm sorry. The one thing they didn't bring up was, what about the rape case from FSU where FSU paid $950,000 for Winston? You forgot about that one.
I wasn't there. You weren't there. I don't know how all that went down or didn't go down. I'm sure I could look that up.
Thing either, right? Yeah, no. Look at it. They paid $950,000. Then the school for like 5 years had to do all this, teach all the students about raping and all this other stuff. And I'm not saying, and I'm not against you or not. I'm just saying basically, yeah, none of us are judge and jury. None of us are at these incidents, right? So, but there sort of has to be something universal that, you know, I don't know. It's just hard. That's why I just wanted to bring it up to you. You get a chance to look at it. I think they paid $950,000.
To the victim, victim was paid out, and she alleged that Jameis Winston raped her on campus at FSU.
Yes, FSU paid out $950,000.
I'll look it up. Thanks for the call, Mike. Let me take a minute, because this goes back to what the note I had about Jameis and Trevor Bauer. The only thing in common with all of these guys is that they think, because they are athletes, because they are famous, because they have money status, that they are just like wanted by women and can do whatever they want and are above the law. And like they walk around like they are some type of gods. And they're all disillusioned. And it's a pattern, right? This happens a lot. On the flight to Tampa, I actually watched the Kobe doc that is on HBO Max now. And man, I like loved Kobe growing up, still do. And just look at him in a different light. And the way that this documentary broke down the like 2003 Kobe Bryant rape trial from Colorado. It's called Kobe, The Making of a Legend. It opened my eyes to like, oh yeah, Kobe definitely took advantage of this girl. Kobe definitely was in the wrong. But because he was Kobe Bryant, champion, NBA player, the way that the, you know, system was set up, like he was able to win. And this girl, like there was no way she was beating Kobe Bryant. And that's unfortunate. Now, when we talk about Jameis versus Trevor Bauer, like I got to look up, I don't exactly remember what went on at campus, on the campus at Florida State, but like it's a tale as old as time. It's unfortunate that these things go on, that the culture at college campuses are people getting drunk and there are young girls that get taken advantage of. And a lot of times by these players, I played at two schools, bro. I played at James Madison University and Monmouth University. I seen it firsthand. Football party. I had a football house. There were times where I was checking on people and going in a room, stuff like, nah, we're not doing this here. Nope. What's going on? Nah, this is not going down. It's not okay. But we can't compare Jameis Winston. And I honestly think he obviously was a knucklehead and you know, not smart. And I already talked about him just not being self-aware. And he probably got carried away with himself too. And you know what? Like, there are people that play into the treatment of these athletes that blow their heads up and make them think that they're you know, they're gods and they're above people and they're not. But I'll read into the Jameis issue with that. But that's a different type of thing than what Trevor Bauer did and is facing. The Trevor Bauer thing, and like Mike said, like, yeah, I listen to your stuff. I know you killed Trevor Bauer. I'm not killing Trevor Bauer. I don't want to talk about Trevor Bauer anymore. There's nothing to talk about. He's not going to pitch in Major League Baseball ever again. He can go to Mexico. He can go to Korea. They don't care. He's not going to sign with a Major League Baseball team because they will not take on what potentially could come out more about Trevor Bauer. There wasn't one girl. We all know the one girl because her face was on the video and that all came out and she was clearly looking for some clout and fame. There are other victims and cases. And from what I read about Trevor Bauer and the things that homeboy liked to do in the privacy of wherever he was, where these girls he would talk to in their DMs or whatever, like he earned this. With great power comes great responsibility. He abused his power. He did not move with responsibility. This guy was literally meeting up with any girls that he could talk through via DMs. And he was assaulting them. So, like, we can try to say, well, Trevor Bauer and Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston has been reprimanded, has been suspended. And you know what? He's kept his nose clean for some years. Can we give him that credit? Yeah, he made some mistakes young, but we haven't heard anything. That's what I'm saying. I've watched him grow from the first Hard Knocks to his last one, where now he's got a wife and a couple sons, some kids. He seems to be a different guy. Trevor Bauer, I can't even say what I want to say about Trevor Bauer and what I read about Trevor Bauer and what I know about Trevor Bauer. What actually amazes me about Trevor Bauer is his fan base. Is his YouTube channel that good? Like, how does he have so many grown men fans caping for him, beating the table saying he deserves a shot? Why don't the Yankees sign Trevor Bauer? Nobody is taking that on because it's not done. Like, there's the one girl who wanted her face to be seen. Yeah, there's a couple other girls. They don't want their face to be seen because they probably have boyfriends or probably are trying to date or work or be somewhere and not be labeled as, you know, another one of those girls that Trevor Bauer punched in the... I'm good on talking about Trevor Bauer, yo. 888-808-1019. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Good hearing you again, man. I hope the trip went well and everything.
It did.
Yeah, so you saw I tweeted, by the way, you know, you got to hit up the, I said Hollywood, obviously, the Miami area. They got that one. I don't know if you've seen it shaped like the guitar and all
I have. I have. I got to get out there. I don't, where is Hollywood, Florida in regards to Tampa? How far is that?
It's outside of Miami. It's a Miami suburb.
Okay. So, got it.
Yeah. But it's about like a 20-minute drive from downtown. That was when we went to, you know, went to the Marlins game and all that. No, it's great. I don't know. The Tampa one looks nice, too, but I saw, like, they got all over the state, and I think, like, some of the, I think with the Panthers and Lightning down there, like, along the boards, they got the advertisers. I think they've said that Hard Rock is the only sports book that works down there.
It is.
Which is weird. Which is weird how that's still stood. And I've had sports book issues of my own. I don't know. Am I allowed to shout out other books? Well, I know, you know, I don't know if they sponsor you anymore, but, like, you know the app Underdog?
I do.
So I'd have to run up to New York. Well, I go to school like 5 minutes from the border, so it wasn't too bad. But, like, it would be a problem if I was coming from my house. But they had a whole hiccup with the state of New York where it's not only still not legal in New Jersey, but it's also now illegal in New York. So I haven't been able to put anything in for a couple of weeks. I got to go back to my uncle.
You're also underage, Ross. You're also in high school.
Well, hold on. Underdog is 18 plus because it's registered as a fantasy app.
Oh, you got
so
it.
That's the one I'm allowed to use. Yeah.
I'm not the guy to tell you. Like I said, I was going to Atlantic City at 16. I was going to Monmouth Park at 16. 16, I started gambling.
Hey, man, I might need 1-800-GAMBLER on the speed dial because now my uncle, he runs picture the FanDuel at the Meadowlands. He lets me put some stuff in. I took a hit this weekend, but bracket and everything.
Are you telling on your uncle live on air now?
Man, I mean, I'm not giving away much info. So you talk about 16 and everything. So I feel like it's pretty range. I'll tell you this, though. I don't think FanDuel's complaining because I took a hit with the parlays, man. Especially the bracket, too, the one thing. Cause, I mean, you look at this thing, it's all chalk. And ironically, funny enough, I was talking to Patty Boyle over the weekend. Leave it to New York, even in college. How many times you bring up, you know, especially in the football, college football season, but now with college basketball, too, you know, this city, you really need a run to get us invested, and the Johnnies gave us one. But leave it to us to be this area to be the reason why there's one remaining double-digit seed left in the Sweet 16, and it's at the hands of the New York-based team. And the fact that you could put R.J. Lewis now in the same conversation as Aaron Judge and Mika Zibanejad or Artemi Panarin, hell, even Julius Randle when he was here. Every big time.
It's us.
You know,
it's our negative energy. That's what I said. We had too much negative energy leading up to it. I was listening. What was I listening to the fan? Maybe Monday? I don't know when it was. I was listening to the fan. I'm like, why are we hating on St. John's? Why are we rooting for them to lose? Why are we saying that they need to like calm down after winning the first game? We should all be like, yeah, go get them. But nope. Started to pull them back. Crabs in a bucket.
Yeah.
We don't want the college kids to have success because the Rangers failed, because the Yankees failed, because the Mets failed, because the Knicks failed. We want them to suffer like the rest of us.
Dude, it's miserable around here. And you know, one thing, you know, something else that goes with it. Like I said, I'm not big on college basketball. Obviously, I think the March Madness, the best, you know, organized thing in sports. Period. But regular season, I'm not that big into it. Aside from the betting, I'll say this though: when I'm into it, I'm a Seton Hall fan, and it's kind of ironic that you talk about this time last year, you know, the Hall and St. John's were kind of hand-in-hand at it, kind of the two teams that got screwed out, you know, the last four or first four out. And there was a whole talk kind of like this year with UNC, last year was Virginia. And even if you go deeper, a lot of people were saying, you know, you could make a case with the Johnnies, but Seton Hall was like unanimously screwed. They wound up winning the NIT, and obviously Kadarius Richmond goes to St. John's. And kind of this whole thing, well, you know, St. John's went on this legacy run, Seton Hall was bottom of the barrel. So, you know, the fact that, the couple other schools around here, but St. John's was the talk of the town, obviously. And who would have thought that his son, obviously Richard, with New Mexico would outlast him, albeit same round they were eliminated just based off the schedule. But the fact that there was enough time in between games where Rick was able to fly out to Cleveland and watch his son coach in the tournament that he himself got eliminated in one day prior.
Yeah, told him how to beat Marquette. Ring. Thanks for the call, Ross. 888-808-1019. I want to take this call because I just want to hear what he's talking about. Mo is in Brooklyn on the fan. What's up, Mo?
What's going on, Keith? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for holding.
Let me ask you, why is there no New York Islander talk on the fan?
Because there's mostly Rangers fans on the fan. Me being a Devils fan, I see them. I understand. I see them. You can lead the Islanders talk.
More, Yeah, there's more New York Liberty talk than Islanders.
Well, when the Liberty Liberty won the whole thing, I guess. But no, you want some love for the Isles. They're ahead of the Rangers in the standings. Go on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What I wanted to make the point was that this Islanders team is giving me I'm a Mets fan, so they're giving me those Mets vibes.
In a good way or a bad way? I don't understand.
In a good way.
Even though they lost tonight?
They lost tonight, yes, okay. But they jumped ahead of the Rangers, and they're jumping ahead of the standings. By the way, the Devils are in trouble.
Yeah, well, you know, it's going to be kind of tough to survive and advance without two of your best players. We kind of accepted that. But, like, Mets vibes with the Islanders, they're giving you the vibes that the Mets had last year, like they can go on a run.
If they get in, they can.
Okay, all right. And they got the same colors. And, you know, Aaron Boone said that, you know, Juan Soto doesn't look good in orange and blue. And I said, I don't think anybody does. But hey, Islanders, the Knicks, the Mets, they pull it off.
Yeah, Knicks, Mets, Islanders guy.
Well, congrats, Mo. I hope the Islanders pull through for you. And I'm sure, who are Islanders fans here at WFAN? Evan.
Is there any?
Is Pete Hoffman? Sal Licata. No, Sal's a Rangers fan.
Bro, we got to recruit it to the fan, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, somebody's got to lead the charge. Thanks for the call, Mo. I see the Isles. I'm not a big Isles guy. I mean, shout out to John Ledecky. He did host us, and it was a great time for me. You know, like I think me, Gio, and Bogish went down during that second period. I was talking about that was a – and shout out to the Devils. They treat me great, and I've had amazing time at every Devils game I've gone to. But that period was the best hockey I ever got to see live because 5 goals were scored in the period and 4 were right in front of us. It was like serendipitous or something where like I think Ledecky joked. He was like, they scored more goals in this period than they do all week. And he's like, the players must have seen Gio. Like they turned up, man. That was a great experience. And I mean, obviously the suite was amazing. But yeah, shout out to the Isles and the Isles fans. You know, crawling back from the depths of the standings. It ain't over till it's over. Maybe you will write the story for New York hockey and the New York Islanders will make a run this year. I don't think it's going to be the Devils. I don't think it's going to be the Rangers. But maybe the Isles get hot at the right time. 888-808-1019. Let's see if I can get another call in before we get to 1 o'clock. King George up in the Bronx on the fan. Thanks for holding.
Live long and prosper. And I'm going to call you Keith the K because you got that energy and cadence of a long ago radio personality, Murray the K. He was a star maker.
Appreciate it.
And I'm not going to go into what I wanted to because I thought about Gardner's son. He wasn't even an adult.
Yeah, that hurt.
He wasn't even in his mid-teens. And I could feel his father's pain. And because like when my father died, I had to hear so much stupid stuff because he happened to die on December 24th. And they go, oh, it's sad he died before Christmas. That's a genius. When is a good day to die?
No, there isn't a good day to die. And I
could see, you know, because were you around when the fan used to have a SIDS telephone? And you thought about things these kids that died at birth were young. You said, dang, they didn't live what we did. You and I had our first dates. We went to school. We learned to read, right? We got an interest in girls at some point. And those kids that y'all used to have the telethon for, they died young when they were babies. You know, all of that just came to me when you mentioned Gardner's son.
Yeah, I you know, it sucks, but we get news like that, and it's a harsh reminder to, you know, live every day to the fullest. It's cliche, but it's not cliche. And every day is not promised, and it's not promised for you or your loved ones. You know, that's why it's not worth fighting or bickering or arguing or going to sleep mad at somebody you love. Like, you just don't know. And, like, it, man, that hurt. It still hurts thinking about, you know, like I said, listening to Girardi, I couldn't even watch the game. I turned the game off. I started watching March Madness because Girardi was talking about, like, you know, obviously Brett Gardner grew up in the organization and you get to meet the wife and then the kids are born and you see them as babies coming up. And man, to lose a son at 14, like, sick. It's just, it, I don't know. It hurts. I watched my mom bury her youngest or her oldest son. I'm her youngest son, but I watched her lose her firstborn that she had when she was young, when she was a teenager. And I saw what that was like. So it's just like, man, and that's why I say God works in mysterious ways. God makes no mistakes. But I think it's just like, you know, God uses other people to send messages to all of us. And, you know, it's not right. It's not wrong. But it's just the reality of life and death. And maybe, you know, there's a Yankee fan or a family or somebody that heard that news and they, you know, it made them move differently or think differently. I know it made me hug my son. It made me hug my wife. It made me think about how blessed I am, you know, to even be able to take care of my family and take a week off and go to spring training and share that experience with them. And, you know, like, that's all Brett Gardner was doing. I think I read they were in Costa Rica, right? Because of his playing career, because of the money I'm sure that he put aside, he could afford to go to Costa Rica and leave the country and take his family to an experience that, like, I've never been to Costa Rica. I may never go to. But, like, that's a terrible memory forever. After that experience, it's terrible. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's why I was friends with Steve Summers. When my father died, he called me at home. He said, your father lived through two world wars, the Great Depression, the invention of television. He had a lot of stories to tell you, and you were there for him. You know, that meant a lot to me when Steve Summers said that.
Yeah, because Steve is a real
he
one like that.
He called me at home.
Mm-hmm. Steve gets
so, you know, I called him at home when his father died.
Well, rest in peace to your father, Steve's father. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because I gave his father a watch, and his father acted like I gave him a hunk of uranium.
Thank you for the call. Thank you for the story. We got a break. We're up against it. It's about to be 1 o'clock. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back.